have on the line with me today Dana Panju on healthradio.fm. Today we're going to talk about sex and kids and how to deal with that uncomfortable subject. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, a lot of parents, I think, they get squeamish when it's sort of that time to start, you know, approaching the subject of sex and sexuality. What are your thoughts as far as the age point of beginning that conversation as a parent?
Well, usually what we suggest is that you start as early as possible. But once the child is curious, around age 8, they should start asking questions about sex. If they haven't by age 8, then it's important that parents start the conversation.
Now, why is it important? I mean, it's obvious maybe to me as a parent, but maybe for others it's not.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why. To have an informed child, they actually have been studies shown that the more informed the child is about their body, for example, at a young age, the less likely they are fall victim to sexual predators. And if you continue the conversation from when they're young to when they become older, adults, then they're always equipped with information that will help them make informed decisions. And basically, an informed child is a safe child. That's why we say talk to your child about sex, continue the conversation, and just keep repeating the conversation until they become in the grade 10, 11, and 12, and even older.
You and I may have a different opinion on how, or not so much how, what is being said. I know for me personally, the school that my children went to, at the age of 4 and 5, there was a discussion of sex education for 5-year-olds, which I think that maybe, you know, maybe depending on what the content is, it's okay. But it was the discussion of penis and the vagina, which I felt at the age of 5 was too early. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, according to, if you're going to be teaching in the schools, which I do, I follow what is the preferred learning outcomes. And that is put out by the Ministry of Education. And as a sexual health educator, I have to follow the PLOs for each grade and for each age group. And yes, we don't introduce, normally we do not introduce intercourse, sexual intercourse, penile and vaginal intercourse until grade 3. So I know there are educators that do introduce that in kindergarten. And basically, if that happens, you're not giving too much information. At that age, the child will only absorb what they can absorb. So with my son, he had a similar introduction to sex when he was in kindergarten. And that whole group was just so concerned about when they can go out and have recess. They didn't even acknowledge what the teacher had said. So it just went right over their heads.
Then why do it, do you think? Like, I honestly, for me, it was a bit of a deal breaker. Like, I felt that, geez, I didn't talk about penis and the vagina until I was in grade 4, and it certainly wasn't with boys in the classroom. Why do you think some districts or some provinces or some states are more proactive and others are conservative?
Well, I don't think in terms of being proactive, like sexual health education is mandatory throughout the whole school system. And that's why you have the PLOs to introduce sex gradually. It has to do with individual sexual health educator. Some educators don't follow the PLOs because they haven't been hired by the actual school. They've been hired by the PAC, and therefore the PLOs don't necessarily apply to them.
What's a PLO? What does that stand for?
The Preferred Learning Outcome,
okay,
which is put up by the Ministry of Education for every age,
okay,
and for every grade.
Got it.
Yeah, so if I go, like, so for example, I went and taught sexual health education in Chilliwack for grades 7 and 8. So what I did was I told them exactly what I do, and they were very specific about what topic they wanted me to cover. And then I went to the PLOs, and I made sure that my presentation followed the PLOs for grades 7 and 8, and I don't deviate from that. However, if I'm in a classroom and a student raises their hand and asks me a question about something that isn't covered in the PLOs, I will answer that question. And the teacher knows that. So you go in with a conversation and tell the teacher, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I know you've been sick. Thanks for still working with us today.
Sorry. But that you have to have a conversation with the teacher, and you have to let them know this is what you're going to do. Yes, you will. You will have the learning styles. But if a student asks you a question, you are not going to not answer that question.
Do you know what I find amazing, though, too? I'm one of those parents that sort of is a busybody, but I certainly know what's going on with my kids in their classrooms. I try to always be involved. It's shocking to me that some parents have no idea what's being taught to their child at any given point when it comes to sex education. And I think that schools are informing the parents and sending home the material, but parents are, for some reason, shying away from acknowledging what's being taught or wanting to sort of follow up at home. Why do you think parents are so uncomfortable?
Well, that's the interesting thing is when I tell people that I'm a sexual health educator, the look I get is a complete horror. Oh, my God, you do what? And I go, yes, I'm a sexual health educator. I teach sexual health from K to 12. I even teach adults and seniors. And then that just puts them over the edge when I talk about seniors. And I always, it is so important for example, Meg Hickling is a pioneer sexual health educator in Vancouver. And she was the one that actually brought health education.
Let's just clarify, folks, we have a worldwide audience. So that's in Vancouver, British Columbia, correct?
Yes, Vancouver, British Columbia, sorry. And what she did was she went to the prison and she talked to pedophiles. And the reason why she did that is because she wanted to find out who pedophiles target. And every single pedophile that she interviewed said the same thing. It's the child that is virtually ignored by the family, and it is the child that has no concept of their body. So what I mean by that is once the grooming starts, that is, you know, they befriend the child, they give the child gifts, and then they introduce pornography. And that happens, that doesn't happen right away. They introduce pornography. They just want to gauge what the child knows about the body. So if they show a picture of a penis and the child says, oh, you know, that's a toy box, the pedophile will know, A, this child has never been talked about his or her body, and that means that the parent is not comfortable talking about sex with this child. Therefore, if they engage in any kind of activity with the child, chances of the child going to a parent will be very slim.
Right.
So that is why we advocate.
So, are you saying, though, too, that, I mean, are we allowed to give body parts nicknames and not use vagina and penis? Is it okay to say, like in my family, it's Tawny and Poshy, that's more like Ukrainian. So we have these names as opposed to the true anatomical names. Is that okay? Is that safe?
No, it's not safe. And the reason being is, for example, it's a sad story. There was a little boy who was in preschool, and he kept telling the teacher that his grandfather played with his toy box. So the teacher just assumed, oh, that's really nice to share. And he kept going to the teacher saying, no, my grandfather plays with my toy box. And this little child was so upset all the time. And the teacher kept saying, well, that's good. It's nice to share. So one day she finally decided to talk to the parent. And she said, what is this toy box that your son keeps talking about? And so the mom said, oh, that's what we call his penis.
Oh, my.
Yes. And so if the child had the word for penis, then when you go and talk to an adult and saying, you know, my grandfather touched my penis, then you know what the child is talking about.
Right.
Right? So then the child can get the necessary help that he needs, and the parent or whatever can get the child the help that he needs. But if they don't know the words, then basically what you're saying is that your body, you're shameful of your body. you're teaching the child that it's not okay to use the words penis and vulva. And it leaves the child very vulnerable. Yes, see, now it's called the vulva. The vulva is the external genitalia of females. The vagina is actually the internal apparatus. The vulva is the external.
So we're having to teach our children now vulva, vagina, and penis are the three.
Just vulva and penis.
Okay.
Yes.
Yikes. It's scary.
Yes, I know. It's a paradigm shift. You know, let's you and I go
to an area, because you and I are friends and we know one another as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about a subject that most people hate to go to and talk about. Let's talk about the religious aspect of incorporating sex education into teaching our children. You're Muslim, I'm Christian, many people are atheists. What do you think are the repercussions of? I mean, there's got to be some aspects for your religion in what your religion deems appropriate to teach a child. How does it work as far as Muslims? I can tell you what happens from the Christianity standpoint.
Well, I know that when we were, my parents immigrated from Uganda, and they never talked about sex or sexual health education.
Yeah.
At all. And now we're here. We've been here since 72, and we are immersed in the educational system. And in the 70s, I remember getting permission from my parents to actually attend sex ed classes. But there were a lot of my friends who were Ismaili who didn't get that permission. So they were actually pulled out of sex ed class. Because I think the parents just think that it's not appropriate to have that type of education. And
yes,
I think, pardon? Sorry.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
So I think when you mix religion, I know it's important, right? Like your values have to come up when you're talking about sexual health education. Of course it has to. But it shouldn't cloud your sexual health education for your children.
I think that's when it's very important for parents to stop avoiding the topic. I know it's uncomfortable. You know, I mean, I had a C-section. My kids are 9 and 10 now. Up until a couple of years ago, I 5 and 6, they believed that all children were cut out of their mom's stomach. And as sex education was added, into their curriculum, I had to explain that, no, they came out of my stomach and why. But how most children are born. I remember my son's eyes like growing at the thought of a baby squeezing out of a vagina, right? And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think that, whatever religion you are, you're right. I think that we have to keep our children safe. There's a way to explain it, whether or not you believe in same-sex marriages or not, whether or not it's being taught in public schools or not. It's a great way to, go over what your child has learned for the day in sex education class and then, end it by relating it to your own religion, whatever that religion may be. But don't avoid the subject just because.
No, don't. And that's the thing. Do you wait until the school teaches your child about sexual health education? Even though sexual health education is mandatory in the BC curriculum, there are some schools that don't teach it. So if you're waiting for the school to start the conversation and that school doesn't have it as part of the curriculum, your child doesn't have sexual health education from the school, nor will they have sexual health education from you. And therefore, what they do is the children will go out and talk to amongst their peers. And chances are they'll get be educated on something that's completely incorrect.
But again, we go back to, when is it the appropriate time? I honestly, you know me, I'm not super conservative. I'm outgoing. I'm open to everyone's ideas, thoughts, religions, everything. But is 5 too early to discuss penis in the vagina, though? I believe that, if you're going to, if there's a mandate, isn't there a level of the amount of disclosure you give to your child. Like, you and I know that I pulled my children from a particular school because I was adamant that 5 years old and 4 years old is too young to discuss that a penis goes into a vagina. And I think that,
yes.
And that was me. And yet, and the other side of the coin is that I believe that I, you know, being a worldly mother, can teach my children, and we can have those conversations, but I don't know if it has to be penis and vagina. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are this. Before I became a sexual health educator, my son was in a similar classroom where the sexual health educator did talk about penile and vaginal intercourse. That shocked me because I was not expecting that, right? And the adults in the classroom were completely shocked that, oh my God, and the kids, not a peep from the kids. They had no concept what was going on. It literally went over their head, and the next question was, can we go out and have recess? Okay. So when I did become a sexual health educator, I was, what we were taught was that there's not a lot of, you can tell your kids any type of information that you want. They will only absorb what they can. However, that particular educator does introduce intercourse in kindergarten. And I know there have been some issues with that, right? But the educator doesn't follow the PLO. Right. And so what you need to be aware of is that some educators will talk about information that is not a part of the PLOs, and you just have to be prepared for that.
Sure.
So what I would suggest is that and that is why parents are not involved in classes anymore, right? So if your child has a sexual health education at kindergarten, parents aren't invited because of the discomfort that parents feel, and if the parent is feeling uncomfortable, the child will feel uncomfortable, and then there's a problem. So what I suggest is that when you know that your child is having sex ed at school, when you're driving home, the child is in the back seat, you're in the front seat, you're both looking forward, talk to your child and say, hey, what did you learn about sex? What did you learn about sex ed? And if they bring up, oh, you know, she was talking about penis going into the vagina, and you go, oh, okay, well, let's talk about that.
She slammed on the brakes, and no, just kidding.
I understand exactly. I understand your concern. I do. So my question to you then is: so my question to you is that would you have introduced that earlier, or when do you feel comfortable and would have been felt comfortable introducing that topic to your child?
I think there's just so much more. This is just me as a mom, right? I think there's just so much more before penis in the vagina at five. I think, and I guess even for me too, there's a sense of, you know, should boys be taught in a different way than girls, or should there be some modesty between the sexes? Like, I know that for me it was like grade four, which maybe is too late for sure. But is there, I don't know, I guess, do we teach girls? I want girls to be, I think girls have lost their sense of, not dignity, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I think that girls should be just, I don't know, respected and taken aside and taught differently. I don't think that, like, why is it combined sex education? I don't know.
That's an excellent question. You know why? Because when I was growing up, it used to be girls in one room, boys in another room, and there weren't any mixed classes. Now the concept is to mix the classes together. The reason being is because both sexes need to be given the exact same information about both sexes. And the reason is because then if a son knows about menstruation, knows about periods, knows about tampons and pads, and they're more educated about what a girl goes through on a monthly basis.
But do you think that a boy is going to listen? Do you think a boy is going to listen differently though when he's separated from the girls? So there's less worrying about the looks on the girls' faces as they're talking about tampons.
I did a grade 6 and 7 class, puberty class in Chilliwack, and I said that it had to be mixed classes. Because that's where this, I'm following a certain model. And the, when I started talking about pads and tampons, it was the boys who were craning their neck because they were so fascinated about how a pad goes into a panty and what a tampon looks like, because up until then, no one had ever shown them what a pad or a tampon looks like.
Yeah.
The girls were trying to hide underneath their desks because they were just mortified.
Sure.
But then when the girls were learning about the guys, you know, wet dreams, erections, ejaculation, it didn't really seem to bother the guys as much, but the girls were fascinated.
Yeah.
And I think when you start, for me, is when you start a conversation between girls and boys early together, right? Yes, it is uncomfortable. Yes, it's, you know, you're shy, you're embarrassed, you feel like just running out of the room. But you know what? You're going to start having these conversations that are going to make you feel uncomfortable in a relationship. When you get older, you're going to be talking about money, children, religion. Imagine if you give them the skills at an early age. I'm feeling uncomfortable, but you know what? You made it through that 75-minute class without dying, right? So the next time you have to talk about something really uncomfortable, you know you're going to be able to survive it.
Sure, and that makes sense. Is there any point that... Because my kids are younger, so I have no idea. As they get older, do they separate into different classes, or is it always co-ed classes?
It's always going to be co-ed. But what I have an issue with is that they don't have sex ed for grade 11 and 12. They stop sex ed at grade 10. And
right.
I think that is, I really think it's imperative when before they go into college, how
yes.
important it is for grade 11 and 12 to be introduced back to sexually transmitted infections. Be aware of date rape. Be aware of sex in the law. Be aware of contraceptions, healthy relationships. That's imperative at that age because now they're going into college. So
well,
imagine
even,
you.
I think that nowadays as well, even subjects on sexting and, you know, taking pictures of
exactly.
your breasts and sending it and all those things, interesting.
Yes, and I think sexting needs to be introduced early. Sexting needs to be introduced at the age of at least by 7, if not earlier. I prefer earlier because there have been incidences where girls in grade 5 have sexted nude pictures of themselves.
Yes.
Because they wanted to impress the boy.
It's a nightmare being a parent today than it was 20, 30
it
years
ago. It is.
I mean, there's so many more things definitely to be concerned about. What's your biggest message in ending our conversation today that you want to send out to parents? What do they really have to be aware of?
You need a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift for me. If I can get parents to see talking about sexual health education from an early age and continue the conversation every chance that you get to keep your child safe and informed, so when they become adults, they make informed decisions. That's the key. Start the conversation early. And research has shown that the more children learn about sex, sexual intercourse, you know, contraception, sexually transmitted infections, the less likely they are to engage in sexual activity.
That's what I want to hear.
It's true. And, you know, there are children who, when they are in grade 11 and 12 in college, they're more concerned about graduating, doing their homework than they are about sexual health, having sex. So I know parents come to me and say, well, you know, if I talk to my child about sex, they're going to go out and have sex. The opposite is completely true. If you talk to your child about sex, and if you introduce the topic about sexual intercourse and intimacy and respect, they are less likely to go out and experiment. However, if they do want to experiment and they've already been given the information, then your child will be safe. I would rather have a child who, if they're going to have sex at that age, that they know about condoms and contraception. than having a child who has no concept whatsoever going out and experimenting with sex and not using a condom and not being safe.
I think at the end of the day, you know, the schools can give the information, whether or not, there's levels of information that's given by the schools. I think that parents have the right to, if they choose to, exclude their child at earlier ages, which is what I did because I felt that 5 was too young. Having said that, I believe that a child should know their body. They should know the body of an opposite sex person as well. And I think that it's up to the parent to allow the schools to get the information, but it's important that the parents spend time with their child in interpreting what that information means and teaching a child to respect their bodies, to value their bodies, and to know that their body is a gift to whoever they choose to give it to in the future. And that is something that has to be taught by the parents and the families. If people want to get a hold of you, what's your email address?
It's zainan@shaw.ca.
Spell that.
Zainan, Z-E-I-N-E-E-N, @shaw.ca.
Zainan, thank you so much for being on Health and Wellness Radio, healthradio.fm. I hope to have you on the show again in the future.
It was fun talking to you.
You as well.
Take care.
Bye.